Thank you, Tate.
The Dueling Club. Harry woke up on Sunday morning to find the dormitory blazing with winter sunlight, and his arm reboned, but very stiff. Excuse me. He sat up quickly and looked over at Colin's bed, but it had been blocked from view by the high curtains. Seeing that he was awake, Madame Pomfrey came bustling over with a breakfast tray, and then began bending and stretching his arms and fingers. "All in order," she said, as he clumsily fed himself porridge left-handed. "When you're finished eating, you may leave." Harry dressed as quickly as he could and hurried off to Gryffindor Tower, desperate to tell Ron and Hermione about Colin and Dobby. They weren't there. Harry left to look for them, wondering where they could have got to and feeling slightly hurt that they weren't interested in whether he had his bones back or not. As Harry passed the library, Percy Weasley strolled out of it, looking in far better spirits than the last time they'd met. "Oh, hello, Harry," he said. "Excellent flying yesterday. Really excellent. Gryffindor has just taken the lead for the House Cup. You earned 50 points. "You haven't seen Ron or Hermione, have you?" said Harry. "No, I haven't," said Percy, his smile fading. "I hope Ron's not in another girl's toilet." Harry forced a laugh, watched Percy walk out of sight, and then headed straight for Morning Mortal's bathroom. He couldn't see why Ron and Hermione would be in there again, but after making sure that neither Filch nor any prefects were looking around, he opened the door and heard their voices coming from a locked stall. "It's me," he said, closing the door behind him. There was a clunk, a splash, and a gasp from within the stall, and he saw Hermione's eye peering through the keyhole. "Harry," she said, "you gave us such a fright. Come in. How's your arm?" "Fine," said Harry, squeezing into the stall. An old cauldron was perched on the toilet, and a crackling from under the rim told Harry they had lit a fire beneath it. Conjuring up portable, waterproof fires was a specialty of Hermione's. "We'd have come to meet you, but we decided to get started on the polyjuice potion," Ron explained, as Harry, with difficulty, locked the stall again. "We've decided that this is the safest place to hide it." Harry started to tell them about Colin, but Hermione interrupted. "We already know. We heard Professor McGonagall telling Professor Flitwick this morning. That's why we decided we better get going." "The sooner we get a confession out of Malfoy, the better," snarled Ron. "Do you know what I think? He was in such a foul temper after the Quidditch match. He took it out on Colin." "There's something else," said Harry, watching Hermione tearing bundles of knotgrass and throwing them into the potion. "Dobby came to visit me in the middle of the night." Ron and Hermione looked up, amazed. Harry told them everything Dobby had told him, or hadn't told him. Hermione and Ron listened, with their mouths open. "The Chamber of Secrets has been opened before?" Hermione said. "This settles it," said Ron, in a triumphant voice. "Lucius Malfoy must have opened the chamber when he was at school here. And now he's told dear old Draco how to do it. It's obvious. Wish Dobby'd told you what kind of monster is in there, though. I want to know how come nobody's noticed it sneaking around the school." "Maybe it can make itself invisible," said Hermione, prodding leeches to the bottom of the cauldron. "Or maybe it can disguise itself, pretend to be a suit of armor or something. I've read about chameleon ghouls." "You read too much, Hermione," said Ron, pouring dead lace wings on top of the leeches. He crumpled up the empty lace wing bag and looked at Harry. "So, Dobby stopped us from getting on the train and broke your arm." He shook his head. "You know what, Harry? If he doesn't stop trying to save your life, he's going to kill you." The news that Colin Creevy had been attacked and was now lying as though dead in the hospital wing has spread through the entire school by Monday morning. The air was suddenly thick with rumor and suspicion. The first years were now moving around the castle in tight-knit groups, as though scared they would be attacked if they ventured forth alone. Ginny Weasley, who sat next to Colin Creevy in charms, was distraught. But Harry felt that Fred and George were going the wrong way about cheering her up. They were taking turns covering themselves with fur or boils and jumping out at her from behind statues. They only stopped when Percy, apoplectic with rage, told them he was going to write to Mrs. Weasley and tell her Ginny was having nightmares. Meanwhile, hidden from the teachers, a roaring trade in talismans, amulets, and other protective devices was sweeping the school. Neville Longbottom brought a large, evil-smelling green onion, a pointed purple crystal, and a rotting newt tail before the other Gryffindor boys pointed out that he was in no danger. He was a pureblood, and therefore unlikely to be attacked. "They went for Filch first," Neville said, his round face fearful. "And everyone knows I'm almost a squib." In the second week of December, Professor McGonagall came around as usual, collecting names of those who would be staying at the school for Christmas. Harry, Ron, and Hermione signed her list. They had heard that Malfoy was staying, which struck them as very suspicious. The holidays would be the perfect time to use the polyjuice potion and try to worm a confession out of him. Unfortunately, the potion was only half finished. They still needed the bicorn horn and the boomslang skin. And the only place they were going to get it was from Snape's private stores. Harry privately felt he'd rather face Slytherin's legendary monster than let Snape catch him rubbing his office. "What we need," said Hermione briskly, as Thursday's afternoon double potions lesson loomed nearer, "is a diversion. Then one of us can sneak into Snape's office and take what we need." Harry and Ron looked at her nervously. "I think I'd better do the actual stealing," Hermione continued in a matter-of-fact tone. "You two will be expelled if you get into any more trouble, and I've got a clean record. So, all you need to do is cause enough mayhem to keep Snape busy for 5 minutes or so." Harry smiled, feebly. Deliberately causing mayhem in Snape's potions class was about as safe as poking a sleeping dragon in the eye. Potions lessons took place in one of the large dungeons. Thursday afternoon lessons proceeded in the usual way. 20 cauldrons stood steaming between the wooden desks, on which stood brass scales and jars of ingredients. Snape prowled through the fumes, making waspish remarks about the Gryffindor's work, while the Slytherins sniggered appreciatively. Draco Malfoy, who was Snape's favorite student, kept flicking pufferfish eyes at Ron and Harry, who knew that if they retaliated, they would get detention faster than you could say unfair. Harry's swelling solution was far too runny, but he had his mind on more important things. He was waiting for Hermione's signal, and he hardly listened as Snape paused to sneer at his watery potion. When Snape turned and walked off to bully Neville, Hermione caught Harry's eye and nodded. Harry ducked swiftly down behind his cauldron, pulled one of Fred's filibuster fireworks out of his pocket, and gave it a quick prod with his wand. The firework began to fizz and sputter. Knowing he had only seconds, Harry straightened up, took aim, and lobbed it in the air. It landed right on target, in Goyle's cauldron. Goyle's potion exploded, showering the whole class. People shrieked as splashes of the swelling solution hit them. Malfoy got a faceful and his nose began to swell like a balloon. Goyle blundered around, his hand over his eyes, which had expanded to the size of a dinner plate. Snape was trying to restore calm and find out what had happened. Through the confusion, Harry saw Hermione slip quietly into Snape's office. "Silence! Silence!" Snape roared. "Anyone who has been splashed, come here for a deflating draft. When I find out who did this..." Harry tried not to laugh as he watched Malfoy hurry forward, his head drooping with the weight of a nose like a small melon. As half the class lumbered up to Snape's desk, some weighted down with arms like clubs, others unable to talk through gigantic puffed-up lips, Harry saw Hermione slide back into the dungeon, the front of her robes bulging. When everyone had taken a swig of antidote and the various swellings had subsided, Snape swept over to Goyle's cauldron and scooped out the twisted black remains of a firework. There was a sudden hush. Ever find out who threw this, Snape whispered, I shall make sure that person is expelled. Harry arranged his face in what he hoped was a puzzled expression. Snape was looking right at him, and the bell that rang 10 minutes later could not have been more welcome. He knew it was me, Harry told Ron and Hermione as they hurried back to Mourning Myrtle's bathroom. I could tell. Hermione threw the new ingredients into the cauldron and began to stir feverishly. It'll be ready in 2 weeks, she said happily. Snape can't prove it was you, said Ron reassuringly to Harry. What can he do? Knowing Snape, something foul, said Harry, as the potion frothed and bubbled. A week later, Harry, Ron, and Hermione were walking across the entrance hall when they saw a small knot of people gathered around the notice board, reading a piece of parchment that had just been pinned up. Seamus Finnegan and Dean Thomas beckoned them over, looking excited. They're starting a dueling club, said Seamus. First meeting tonight. I wouldn't mind dueling lessons. They might come in handy one of these days. What, you reckon Slytherin's monster can drool? Said Ron. But he, too, read the sign with interest. Could be useful, he said to Harry and Hermione as they went into dinner. Shall we go? Harry and Hermione were all for it. So at 8 o'clock that evening, they hurried back to the Great Hall. The long dining tables had vanished, and a golden stage had appeared along one wall, lit by thousands of candles floating overhead. The ceiling was velvety black once more, and most of the school seemed to be packed beneath it, all carrying their wands and looking excited. I wonder who'll be teaching us, said Hermione, as they edged into the chattering crowd. Someone told me Flitwick was a dueling champion when he was young. Maybe it'll be him. As long as it's not, Harry began, but ended on a groan. Gilderoy Lockhart was walking onto the stage, resplendent in robes of deep plum, and accompanied by none other than Snape, wearing his usual black. Lockhart waved an arm for silence and called, Gather round! Gather round! Can everyone see me? Can you all hear me? Excellent! Now, Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club, to train you all in case you ever need to defend yourselves, as I myself have done on countless occasions. For full details, see my published works. Let me introduce my assistant, Professor Snape, said Lockhart, flashing a wide smile. He tells me he knows a tiny little bit about dueling himself and has sportingly agreed to help me with a short demonstration before we begin. Now, I don't want any of you youngsters to worry. You'll still have your potions master when I'm through with him. Never fear! Wouldn't it be good if they finished each other off? Ron muttered in Harry's ear. Snape's upper lip was curling. Harry wondered why Lockhart was still smiling. If Snape had been looking at him like that, he'd have been running as fast as he could in the opposite direction. Lockhart and Snape turned to face each other and bowed. At least, Lockhart did. With much twirling of his hands, whereas Snape jerked his head irritably. Then they raised their wands like swords in front of them. As you see, we are holding our wands in the accepted combative position, Lockhart told the silent crowd. On the count of three, we will cast our first spells. Neither of us will be aiming to kill, of course. I wouldn't bet on that, Harry muttered, watching Snape baring his teeth. One, two, three! Both of them swung their wands above their head and pointed them at their opponents. Snape cried, Expelliarmus! There was a dazzling flash of scarlet light and Lockhart was blasted off his feet. He flew backward off the stage, smashed into the wall, and slid down it to sprawl on the floor. Malfoy and some of the others of Slytherin's cheered. Hermione was dancing on tiptoes. Do you think he's all right? She squealed through her fingers. Who cares? Said Harry and Ron together. Lockhart was getting unsteadily to his feet. His hat had fallen off, and his wavy hair was standing on end. "Well, there you have it," he said, tottering back onto the platform. "That was a disarming charm. As you see, I've lost my wand." "Ah, thank you, Miss Brown." "Yes, an excellent idea to show them that, Professor Snape. If you don't mind my saying so, it was very obvious what you were about to do. If I had wanted to stop you, it would have only been too easy. However, I felt it would be instructive to let them see." Snape was looking murderous. Possibly Lockhart had noticed, because he said, "Enough demonstrating! I'm going to come amongst you now and pull you all into pairs. Professor Snape, if you'd like to help me." They moved through the crowd, matching up partners. Lockhart teamed Neville with Justin Finch Fletchley, but Snape reached Harry and Ron first. "Time to split up the dream team, I think," he sneered. "Weasley, you can partner with Finnegan. Potter?" Harry moved automatically toward Hermione. "I don't think so," said Snape, smiling coldly. "Mr. Malfoy, come over here. Let's see what you make of the famous Potter. And you, Miss Granger, you can partner with Miss Bulstrode." Malfoy strutted over, smirking. Behind him walked a Slytherin girl who reminded Harry of a picture he'd seen in Holiday with the Hags. She was large and square, and her heavy jaw jutted aggressively. Hermione gave her a weak smile that she did not return. "Face your partners," called Lockhart back on the platform. "And bow." Harry and Malfoy barely inclined their heads, not taking their eyes off each other. "Wands at the ready," shouted Lockhart. "When I count to three, cast your charms to disarm your opponents. Only to disarm them. We don't want any accidents. One, two, three." Harry swung his wand high, but Malfoy had already started on two. His spell hit Harry so hard he felt as though he'd been hit over the head with a saucepan. He stumbled, but everything still seemed to be working, and wasting no more time, Harry pointed his wand straight at Malfoy and shouted, "Rixu Sempra!" A jet of silver light hit Malfoy in the stomach, and he doubled up, wheezing. "I said disarm only!" Lockhart shouted in alarm over the heads of the battling crowd as Malfoy sank to his knees. Harry had hit him with a tickling charm, and he could barely move for laughing. Harry hung back, with a vague feeling it would be unsporting to bewitch Malfoy while he was on the floor. But this was a mistake. Gasping for breath, Malfoy pointed his wand at Harry's knees and choked, "Tarantelegra!" And the next second, Harry's legs began to jerk around out of control in a kind of quick step. "Stop! Stop!" shrieked Lockhart. But Snape took charge. "Finite incantatum!" he shouted. Harry's feet stopped dancing, Malfoy stopped laughing, and they were able to look up. A haze of greenish smoke was hovering over the scene. Both Neville and Justin were lying on the floor, panting. Ron was holding up an ashen-faced Seamus, apologizing for whatever his broken wand had done. But Hermione and Millicent Bulstrode were still moving. Millicent and Hermione had Hermione in a headlock, and Hermione was whimpering in pain. Both their wands lay forgotten on the floor. Harry leapt forward and pulled Millicent off. It was difficult. She was a lot bigger than he was. All right. That's all for today.